Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I want us to turn back to Genesis chapter 1, all the way back in the beginning of Scripture. We're going to look at the greatness of God from this chapter. We've been looking at chapters in the Word of God that tell us about the greatness of God in Jesus Christ, hopefully to get us to understand the importance of coming to obey them, to understand that they do exist and that we need to have a proper relationship with them. At the very beginning of the Bible, we have three chapters that speak of some important principles of the greatness of God. All of Genesis, of course, brings out various attributes of God, but we're going to focus on the first three chapters over the next few weeks in our study, and I hope that that'll be profitable and beneficial to you. In the world today, of course, there's a big controversy over how we got here, how we were formed, where the world came from, how it all started. Was it creation? Was it evolution? And really, up until about 1850, the majority of individuals in the world typically believed that the world began by some creation of God, or depending upon what people you're talking to, gods. But it was not naturalistic evolution. It wasn't really until the time that Charles Darwin popularized evolution did that become a majority view or a prevailing view among people. There were individuals who believed in some sort of evolution prior to Charles Darwin. The ancient Greeks had some concept in their mind of evolution, naturalistic evolution, evolving over long periods of time. But really, Charles Darwin popularized that. And prior to that, it was typical among many individuals that the world began by God. The biblical account was believed, what the Bible said was believed to be true. And we live in a world today where that, of course, is challenged by atheism, secularism, humanism, which all teaches some form of naturalistic evolution from amoeba to man, from, you know, billions of years of evolution until we get the world that we have today. We know the Bible to be true, and there are evidences for that, and we are going to focus on the truth of the matter. And there are many people today, even in the modern scientific world, that are coming around to the fact that there is a designer behind design. Maybe you have heard of the so-called intelligent design movement that has been around for the past 25 years or so. Even modern individuals recognize that there is a designer. And so evolution, Darwin's evolution, is really not completely gone, but it is in decline. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to begin to see the greatness of God. And I want to talk about some qualities about him today, and we will continue this study, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was waste and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Or some versions say, the first day. Friends, what can we learn about God from this very beginning point in Scripture, and beginning point in all of time, all of history, all of the created universe? What can we learn? Well, let's bring out some characteristics of God today in our study. And we don't simply want to learn some factual information. Over the past few weeks, in looking at these chapters that speak of the greatness of God in Jesus, I hope to move us to obedience. I'm not interested in just mere information. I'm not interested in just some interesting points, theological doctrines or points. I'm interested in us learning points, learning information, and moving us to obedience. So what can we learn from God from these opening chapters of Scripture? Well, first of all, we learn that God is and that He is eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what? Well, when time began, the time of the original creation. When time began, God already was in existence. So God is, and we have to deal with Him. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, we are laid naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. We have to give an account to God. There is a God. God is. He exists. And whether one recognizes Him or not, or believes in Him or not, He's accountable to Him, and we would do well to obey Him before it's too late. So God is, and He is eternal. Creation had a starting point, but God does not. And Jesus was with God in the beginning. We learn that from John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, same opening words of John 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. And so, God is already in existence, and He's eternal. Jesus is already in existence, and He is eternal. Of course, the Holy Spirit is as well. Creation has a starting point, but God does not. God existed before the foundation of the world. Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 40:28, Isaiah 46:10, Isaiah 48:12, this great and glorious truth. And it also shows us that God is separate from His creation. This shows pantheism and dualism to be false. Pantheism, which is one of the hallmarks of the Hindu religion, is that God is in all things and all things are in God. That's not what's going on here. God existed before anything else existed, and when He created the heavens and the earth, He is separate from heavens and earth. Heavens and earth are physical realities, but God is not in those things. God is not in the trees and in the rocks and in the water and in the air. That's pantheism, where God is in all and all is God. And some of that came out in the well-known Star Wars movies that I grew up with. This all-pervading divine force that is out throughout all of the universe and through us and in us and around us. God certainly is omnipresent. He can be anywhere He wants, but God is separate from His creation. He's a separate being. Note the phrase, in the beginning. We even find this in the New Testament, Mark chapter 6, when Jesus is talking about marriage from the beginning. Paul talks about since the beginning in Romans 1:20. All these phrases point to a definite beginning point in creation. Our universe is not an accident. It had a purposeful beginning by God. Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalm that's attributed to Moses, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Friends, God exists, and he's eternal in nature, and we need to believe and obey him. In chapter 1, when everything was created there on the first day, God saw the light that it was good. Another attribute of God that I want to talk about is his goodness, and he can be praised for his goodness. Notice that God created, and when he created everything, it was good. Why did God create? He didn't have to. He doesn't need anything. Paul, in preaching in Acts 17, 24 and 25, says that God does not need anything. He doesn't need anything from us. God does not need a universe to be God. So we know then that God's creation was a free act of love and goodness of God. God is love, John says in 1 John 4, 8 and verse 16. He chose to create something to exist other than himself. He wanted someone to love. He wanted not just a physical world, but eventually mankind, men and women, to have fellowship with and to be objects of his love. He chose to create something other than himself and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And he chose to create all things through his Spirit. Jesus was there, John 1 and verse 1. The Spirit of God was there, Genesis 1 verse 2. And they are in the beginning, before the world began. We already made that point. And they seek to create something in order to show their love. So God deserves our glory. He created in order to manifest his glory. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, those who are praising God around the throne, they say, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created." What a great thing that is, that God wants to show his love and grace and mercy in creating a family of individuals of which you and I belong to. And God gets the glory for that. A third attribute that I want to notice is that God is powerful. In the beginning, God created. God created. This is the Hebrew word bara, and it's used of divine creation and creation for the first time. Two other verbs are used in Genesis 1. Made, the Hebrew word asah, and formed, the Hebrew word yatsar, to take something that's already been made. But this bara is to make something that had not existed before. And we find these verbs in Genesis chapter 1. God is creating, and God is calling, verse 5, calls night and day. God is in control. He's very powerful. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, "By the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." We read, going down through the book of Genesis, and God said, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 14, and so forth, just to speak his word, to speak it into existence. Psalm 33 and verse 9, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." The worlds were made by the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 3. So friends, we need to understand the powerful nature of God. Physicists tell us that there are at least four things that make up the natural universe, and all four of them are mentioned here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Even secular atheistic physicists speak of these four things. First of all, time. We have that here in the beginning. That's when the clock started, as it were. God created. Force. The heavens, space, and the earth, material matter. Time, force, space, and material matter are recognized by all physicists. And yet, all of these things are attributed here to God. So, God is and is eternal. God is good and loving and worthy of our praise. Number three, God is powerful. Just to speak things into existence. And that powerful word of God is shown in the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16, that can save us today. The same powerful word exists today in Scripture, and we need to obey that. Another quality that we find here in Genesis chapter 1 is that God is threefold in nature: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, what we call the Trinity. Notice that God is in verse 1, and the Spirit of God, and we know from other passages, like Psalm 104 in verse 30, Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they were created. And we know from John 1 and verse 1 that the Word, Jesus, was there in the beginning. This is the Godhead. The plural noun, Elohim, is used with a singular verb. The plural form of this noun points to a divine, unlimited greatness, while the singular verb points to unity. Note our word universe, literally to turn together. It all revolves and stays together. But a Godhead created that. Let us make man in our image, for example. Chapter 1 and verse 26. All three members of the Godhead were responsible for creation. More on the Spirit of God and His role can be found in Job 26 and verse 13, Job 33 and verse 4, Isaiah 40, 12 and 13. So all three members of the Godhead want to be a part of your life. And that comes all the way down until today, with regard to salvation from sin. God made the plan. Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Spirit revealed the gospel to tell us how to have forgiveness of sins by being baptized into Christ. And so the Godhead is a part of physical creation. The Godhead is a part of the spiritual creation, the new creature in Christ, where we can be a part of His church. And all three members of the Godhead will be present in heaven after the judgment day, where we can be with them for eternity there. Friend, these chapters need to move us to believe and obey. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 5, we have the first day. We're going to read later about the second day and the third day. These are 6 24-hour days. Notice that there's no large gap of billions of years between verse 1 and 2. Some people try to put a large period of time between verse 1 and 2. They call it the gap theory. The text doesn't say that the earth became waste and void. The earth did not become waste and void after billions of years, it was waste and void at the very beginning when God created it. Waste and void just simply refers to an unformed and unfilled creation at the beginning of time before God created any further, before God formed it and filled it. But there's no gap of billions of years between verse 1 and 2. Also, these days are not billions of years long. They're natural 24-hour days where there's a period of night and there's a period of day, just like we have today. So God is powerful. We also find that God is authoritative. God is authoritative. Notice in the text that God is creating by just simply saying things. God said, "Let there be." As I mentioned earlier, verse 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26. He said, "Let there be," and it was so. He spoke things into existence. Note the phrase, "and it was so." He said, and it was so. Verse 7, 9, 11, 15, 24, 30. This is very important, friends. The authoritative word of God. I already mentioned Hebrews 11, 3. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear. That's the whole point of evolution. What we have now just simply came from physical things billions of years ago. Some of them talk about a Big Bang explosion. But this is arguing for something coming from the Word of God, not something coming from what is already physical in nature. It has not been made out of things which appear. So what we have was not made out of what we have. What we have was not made out of something physical, explosion or not, billions of years ago. What we have was made out of something else. What was that something else? The Word of God. So it argues from creation from nothing. That's what that verse argues for, creation from nothing. It has not been made out of the things which appear. It was made out of the Word of God. By the word of God. Psalm 148, verse 5, "Let them praise the name of Jehovah, for he commanded and they were created." That's how it came about. Not an explosion, not a big bang, or anything else like that that is argued by naturalistic evolution. So God is authoritative. And this is where we get into the practical lesson for today. This is not just some interesting lesson this morning in how we came about creation versus evolution. This is a lesson to tell us these attributes of God. And when we get down to the fact that God is and that he is authoritative, that is still true for our lives today, friends. And that same word of God that is commanded, we're held accountable for that. He commanded some things, for example, "Let there be light," with regard to the physical creation, but he also commands some things, Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Those are commands. Peter commanded Cornelius, Peter speaking God's word, commanded Cornelius to be baptized at the end of Acts chapter 10. We have commands. Somebody says, "Well, I think that's pretty neat that God commanded some things and that's how the world began." But what about the other commands of God that deal with my relationship with him and what I need to do today? There are some commands that we have as Christians upon the first day of the week to assemble together and to take the Lord's Supper and to give a contribution. These are commands. So in Psalm 148, he commanded and they were created. We need to be thinking also about the commands that we must obey today. God gives us a free will, and we'll talk about that later when we get to Adam and Eve. God gives us a free will. And we have a choice of whether we're going to obey those commands or not. One other attribute of God that I want to talk about before we close this morning is the fact that God is wise. There's divine wisdom and design from the smallest atom and the smallest part of an atom to the largest galaxy. Keep reading in Genesis 1, verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning a second day. And God said, verse 9, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof and their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. And then in verse 20, God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and the open firmament of the heaven." God created the sea monsters and every living creature that moves, wherewith the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. You'll notice that in day one, God created the light. In day four, he created the lights to go in the heavens. In day two, he created the air and water. But in day five, he created the birds to fly in the air and the sea animals to be in the water. In day three, he created the lands and the plants. And in day six, he's going to create the land animals to fill the land and mankind. Notice that he is orderly and wise. He creates the environment first, and then he fills that environment with other things. And so God is wise and orderly. Well, friends, we'll close with that for today's study and pick it up again, Lord willing, next week. God is, and he is good and worthy to be praised. He's powerful. He's authoritative. He's wise. Let's be busy obeying him today. And if I can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.